Welcome everyone to this 20th Sunday after Pentecost here at St. John's Toorak. It's lovely to see you and a warm welcome to people who are joining us live and to people who will enjoy this service in its recorded version on YouTube. Following today's service will be a time of fellowship for those of us who are joining us live. So please give us 10 minutes at the end of the service, grab a cup of tea or coffee and then join us virtually in the vestry for fellowship. We begin our service today, as customary, with music from our Director of Music, Mr. Christopher Cook. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you,
and also with you.
Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And the collect for this 20th Sunday after Pentecost. Almighty God, your Son has opened for us a new and living way into your presence. Give us pure hearts and steadfast wills to worship you in spirit and in truth, through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Come now to our readings from Scripture, and our first reading this morning comes from the 33rd chapter of the book of Exodus. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you have said to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favour in my sight. Now if I have found favour in your sight, show me your ways, so that I may know you and find favour in your sight. Consider too that this nation is your people." He said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go, do not carry us up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favour in your sight, I and your people, unless you go with us? In this way we shall be distinct, I and your people, from every people on the face of the earth." The Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing that you have asked, for you have found favour in my sight, and I know you by name." Moses said, "Show me your glory, I pray." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you the name the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy on whom I shall show mercy." But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live." And the Lord continued, "See, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock. And while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our psalm set for this morning's worship is Psalm 99. We use the version taken from the Anglican prayer book. You might like to say it with me. The Lord is King. Let the nations tremble. He is enthroned upon the cherubim. Let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion. He is high above all nations. Let them praise your great and terrible name, for holy is the Lord. The Mighty One is King and loves justice. You have established equity. You have dealt righteousness and justice in Jacob. O exalt the Lord our God, and bow down before his footstool, for he is holy. Moses and Aaron among his priests, and Samuel among those who call upon his name. They called to the Lord, and he answered. He spoke to them from the pillar of cloud. They kept to his teachings and the law that he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You were a forgiving God to them and pardoned their wrongdoing. O exalt the Lord our God and bow down towards his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading this morning is the opening 10 verses of the first letter to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We always give thanks to God for all of you and mention you in our prayers, constantly remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labour of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters, beloved by God, that he has chosen you, because our message of the gospel came to you not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of people we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for in spite of persecution you received the word with joy, inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you may become an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place where your faith in God has become known, so that we have no need to speak about it. For the people of those regions report about us what kind of welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath that is coming. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter, reading verses 15 to 33. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this? And whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The same day, some Sadducees came to him, and saying, "There is no resurrection." And they asked him a question, saying, "Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies childless, his brother shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died childless, leaving the widow to his brother. And the second did the same, so also the third, down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman herself died. In the resurrection, then, whose wife of the seven will she be? For all of them had married her." Jesus answered them, "You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is God not of the dead, but of the living." And when the crowd heard it, they were astounded at his teaching. For the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is in Jerusalem in the final days of his earthly ministry. He continues to point to the kingdom of heaven of eternal life, as well as creating a kingdom of heaven of sorts here on earth, one of healing and compassion for the sick and the distressed and the rejected. Jesus also continues, as we heard from our reading, to expose various authorities, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes and the priests, who say a lot, but in fact do little. They just keep heaping burden upon burden on people, especially upon the most vulnerable. And it's all coming to a head. The authorities are threatened by Jesus, and their hostility to him is intensifying. You certainly know trouble is brewing when two groups who normally despise one another, the Pharisees and the Herodians, suddenly buddy up with the sole intention of trapping Jesus once and for all. Pharisees were committed to Torah, and they kept a close eye on how Jewish people should live within the Mosaic law in their everyday lives. They're portrayed not as strange or wrong. They're one of several groups coexisting, if not in harmony, then alongside each other in the same society as other Jewish groups. But what Jesus rejects, and he does in today's reading, with increasing intensity, he rejects this more and more, their hypocrisy. They do not do justice. They do not love kindness. And they do not walk humbly with their God. How do we know this? A few examples will suffice. The Pharisees object when Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus reminds them of the prophet Hosea's words that God desires mercy, not the strict take no prisoners application of the law. They object when the disciples pick grain on the Sabbath because they're hungry. And Jesus says again that God desires mercy. They object when Jesus even heals a man's withered hand on the Sabbath. And Jesus teaches again that God desires more than a strict application of the law. God desires mercy. There's a pattern here. The Pharisees focus on the granular, microscopic details that don't lift up or offer hope and life. Jesus, on the other hand, enjoys meals with outcasts. He encourages the hungry to eat. And most movingly, I think, he heals a maimed man who can now get on and support himself, and one might assume his family, and live more fully. Jesus isn't against the law at all, but the law without mercy, or indeed the justice and equity we read in today's psalm, smacks perhaps more of legalism than God's love. Well, along with the other authorities, the Pharisees in the first part of our reading today particularly, they're heartily fed up with Jesus. They're fed up with his teachings, his claiming authority for himself. They're fed up with the compassion that he shows over and over again. They're fed up with the miracles that that give people back their very lives. They're fed up with Jesus' parables, especially when they expose the failings of those most in authority, them. The Pharisees could simply write him off as just another annoying troublemaker. But they've witnessed over and over again for themselves what complete relationship with God and neighbour looks like. They're aware of the crowds, and for now, they can't write him off. But they can plot to destroy him. They send their disciples to work with the Herodians to corner Jesus. The Herodians, you might guess by their name, Jewish people, cooperating with the powers of Roman occupation, unlike the Pharisees, who really saw Roman colonization as an affront to their piety and their identity. So we have very odd bedfellows indeed. They go up to Jesus, and notice how much they know Jesus so well, which makes their trying to trap him even more sinister. Teacher, they flatter him. We know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Now, really, they should have just stopped there and followed Jesus, but they don't. Tell us what you think. Is it lawful? Is it proper to pay taxes to the emperor or not? Yes or no? The trap is set. We can imagine the dramatic silence as the Pharisees and Herodians wait for Jesus' stumbling, wrong answer. If Jesus says, well, don't pay the poll tax, the Herodians will get him on being an enemy of the state. If he says, well, pay the poll tax, the Pharisees will get him on compromising his devotion to God and losing the support of faithful Jews who long for freedom from the Romans. Yes or no? Show me the coin of the tribute, Jesus says. A coin, not too dissimilar from the one I'm holding up. The silver denarius has stamped on it the image and inscription of the Emperor Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus. Jesus asks a question. Whose likeness is on the coin? Whose image? It's a simple question. Yet the moment Jesus utters the word likeness, his audience can't possibly miss where Jesus is going. Their minds must be cast back to the opening words of Genesis. So God created man, God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, he created them. And their minds would have flooded back to the book of Exodus. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. What can the Pharisees or Herodians say? The image on the coin is Caesar's, falsely claiming the status of a god and divine authority, but the image is Caesar's. Jesus says, give back to Caesar the things of Caesar. Give back to Caesar what belongs to him. Return the coin. It bears his image and title. Give back to Caesar. It's a moment where perhaps his audience think, we've gotcha. But Jesus also says, and give the things of God to God. With these words, Jesus' adversaries, for the moment, are silenced, because they know that all things belong to God. Jesus isn't making a political statement here about taxes. He's subtly pointing out that along with everyone and everything, Caesar himself sits within the concerns and authority of God. Jesus isn't trying to separate out everyday life, economics, taxes, and fiscal issues on one hand, and God on the other. That we do business and live our lives on Monday to Friday, but then keep ourselves holy for Sunday. All aspects of life are God's. It's also a reminder never to give the things that are of God to emperors. There are plenty of emperors in our world today. We don't give to emperors the glory and the ultimate trust that we give to God. Give the things of God back to God. What do we make of this, really? Well, made in the image of God, what do we give back to God? Everything and all of us. Everyday lives, the good bits, the not so good bits, our fears and concerns, our confidence and joy and hopes and dreams, our trust, our love, our lives. God invites us to give it all to God. Give the things of God back to God. Over the last many months, the St. John's community has, in so many ways, given back to God the things of God. Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, pours out his gratitude to the early church community for their work of faith, their labour of love and steadfastness of hope in Christ. He describes them as an example of Spirit-led people. If I may say, St. John's, identified geographically by this little patch of Toorak on the corner of Toorak Road and Clendon Road, but of course made up of a human family far and wide, St. John's has been an example of a Spirit-led people. An example of faith, hope, and love in this most challenging and most difficult of years. You have given to God the things of God by encouraging each other, your faithful support of the church which longs for your return, your care for the vulnerable, and your prayers for the world, especially throughout this pandemic. You are a loved and living Christian example of Spirit-led people. Throughout Toorak and Melbourne and even Australia, many have been blessed by acts of kindness and generosity. Others will get through this pandemic a little better because of the love shown to them. Still others have made new friends because someone reached out. Yet there is more to do. As Christians who seek to follow Christ and as image bearers of God's love, there is always more to do. In closing, may I challenge us all to keep praying about how we might continue to give back to God the things of God. More than ever, our community and our world need our ongoing love in prayer and practical action. Of all things, loving God and loving our neighbour is truly giving back to God the things of God. Amen.
Let us affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father, through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Come now into a time of prayer. Let us pray for all people and for the church throughout the world. Almighty and ever-living God, we are taught by your holy apostle to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks for all people. We ask you in your mercy to receive our prayers, which we offer to your divine majesty. We pray that you will lead the nations of the world in the ways of righteousness and peace, and guide their rulers in wisdom and justice for the tranquility and good of all. Bless especially your servant Elizabeth, our Queen, her representatives and ministers, her parliaments and all who exercise authority in this land. Grant that they may impartially administer justice, restrain wickedness and vice, and uphold integrity and truth. We beseech you to inspire continually the universal church with the spirit of truth, unity and concord, and grant that all who confess your holy name may agree in the truth of your holy word and live in unity and godly love. Give grace, Heavenly Father, to all bishops and other ministers, that by their life and doctrine they may set forth your true and life-giving word, and rightly and duly administer your holy sacraments. And to all your people give your heavenly grace, and especially to this congregation here present, that they may receive your word with meek hearts and due reverence, and serve you in holiness and righteousness all the days of their life. We ask you of your goodness, Lord, to comfort and sustain all who in this transitory life are in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. We pause here and bring to God the names of those people on our hearts and minds this day. We also bless your holy name for all your servants who have died in the faith of Christ. Give us grace to follow their good examples, that with them we may be partakers of your heavenly kingdom. And grant this, Father, for Jesus Christ's sake, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit, that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honour and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, who has promised forgiveness to all who turn to God in faith, pardon you and set you free from all your sins, strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Amen.
And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and upon those whom you love, this day and always. Amen. Now go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.